This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Good afternoon and welcome to Been There, Done That on Joy 94.9. Today with a cast of...
Thousands.
Oh, that was Gordon.
Three.
Oh, and that was Phil.
3,000.
It is crowded in here.
Oh, it's a crowded house.
Thank you very much. Yes, welcome to Been There, Done That with Gordon, Phil, Chris, and we want to say thank you to Scott for the morning show, Tim for the news, although I'm going to have some words to say about that.
Are you?
A little later. And thanks to Lance on the desk and Julia, who's just arrived.
Who's just about to replace him at the desk.
Indeed. So welcome and thanks very much for joining us. Yes, well, it was sad in the news to hear Tim talk about the shootings around in the suburbs. There's more and more of that happening.
And we did sort of mention that we thought John Howard had got rid of all the guns.
Yeah, but I think it's an attitude problem again of the fact that people seem to see that as the weapon of choice in resolving disputes of one sort or another. I saw an advert in the tram shelter there talking about a watch and a woman with a clenched fist, and there was some connection between that and the watch brand that was being advertised. And I thought, this is not a particularly pleasant connection to be making with a wristwatch.
Well, I think that the advertising people sort of run out of ideas and sort of have to bring in something new or something. But
does the watch punch you on the hour or something?
Well, I don't know exactly what the connection was supposed to be, but I didn't see that it was a positive connection.
No.
And same with hearing that weapons seem to be the only way of resolving disputes.
Well, it seems to be the way. Actually, knives as well.
Knives
are coming. Everybody seems to be getting stabbed every weekend. You hear of somebody
getting
stabbed.
I used to get by with cutting remarks.
Did you?
Yes.
And you still do. Other than
actually cutting people.
Yeah.
And you
very
still
good
do.
Move.
But let's get on to a more happier subject. Eh?
Well,
we've got some celebrations.
I mean,
it is the
gay and lesbian history program.
Yeah, and it's just about the end of our midsummer. We've only got another few days to go.
It's an excuse for us to talk about that in a second thing. Well, there's a couple of birthdays that we always like to commemorate. Donald Friend, who was he, you might ask?
He was a great artist, great Australian artist who lived a lot of his time in Bali. He had a house in Bali with his entourage of Bali boy house servants.
Yes.
And some of his Balinese paintings are absolutely magnificent.
Now, considering that he died way back in the 6th of February 1915...
He didn't die then, did he? I thought he was...
Sorry, that was his birthday.
That was his birthday.
He had a rather short life.
1989, I think it was that he died.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes,
I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, that's
but
better.
He probably was there well before the tourist...
Oh, yes, he was there.
Tourism.
Yeah, he was there when I was there in 72.
Oh, excuse me, Phil, did you notice how that little pearl was just dropped in
like
the...
Like dropping box? Names. And about these Bali beach boys, where do you get them?
Well, I don't know where he got them, but he's had his entourage of house boys and the house...
Well, see, I don't imagine having a few boys in my house, so I just want to know where to get them.
Where to get them? On the Bali beach.
Well, that's such a long way to go.
Happened on the beach at Bali, Bali. It's a song. That's a song from way back too. God.
Well, it is a history show, so...
And thank you, Gordon, for bringing that to our attention. Don't do it again.
All right. But we also should say happy birthday to Mark Trevorrow for tomorrow, too.
Oh, now, who? Mark Trevorrow
tomorrow?
No, it's his birthday on the Thursday, the 4th, I beg your pardon.
Yes. When's Bob Down's birthday?
Bob Down, yeah. Bob Down, if
we
you want.
We can't be both.
We love you both. Bob and Mark Trevorrow.
Murrumbina boy, Murrumbina sadly.
Bob. Yeah, yeah. But he had a great career, really. And he's still got it. He's still doing it, of course. He did very, very well in London and very, very well in England.
The comedy scene.
The comedy scene, yeah. He's got a great voice. when he sings as Mark Trevorrow, he's got a, and it doesn't carry on like when he's Bob Down.
Oh.
But when he's the Prince of Polyester, of course, well, he goes right off.
And that is very sad. The him with his blonde hair and his polyester suits.
And the big white teeth.
Yes.
I don't know whether he has them specially polished or not. I'm not sure. But
long as they're not removable objects that can be swapped over.
Yeah, well, I can remember seeing a drag queen take her false teeth out and lose them as castanets while she sang Lady of Spain.
I don't like that. I mean, that is life, love and happiness. And Depeche Mode are going to sing it for us. And when we come back, we'll be talking about Pride March. You're on Joy.
Joy.
You're with Chris, Gordon and Phil. Been there, done that on Joy 94.9. And we'd announced that track incorrectly. In fact, it was Love, Life and Happiness, Stereo Love with Brian Kennedy.
And that was what was yesterday, wasn't it?
It was.
Love, Life and Happiness down at the Pride March. Absolutely a lot of fun.
I wasn't able to attend.
No, you weren't.
I was...
You were missed.
I was not well, but I was missed.
Thank you
very much. But it was a great day and lots of press and TV coverage.
Except for one paper who didn't even mention us. There'd have to be at least 40,000 people in Fitzroy Street, but didn't even rate a mention in one paper. And I wonder why.
And there was lots of announcements by the politicians.
Yes, some good announcements. The one about apology for the people with crime convictions for having consensual sex.
Yeah.
Before they decriminalised homosexuality.
And that was great. And in fact, the other side the same side was saying, well, federal parliament, come on, get with it, pass it now.
Well, there's according to Friday's paper, which I mentioned before when I was talking to Scott, they have enough numbers in lower house and the upper house of parliament in Canberra to pass the bill.
Mm.
And John Howard inserted man and woman into the Marriage Act without going to a referendum or a plebiscite or anything. He just said he's going to pass the law, and instead of having just two people being married, it became man and woman. And that's so if he can do it, anybody can do it, change it back.
You just undo it.
Undo it, that's
right. Save $160 million.
Yeah, and $160 million can go to help some schools that need to be built or something or other.
Get rid of another level crossing.
Or fix some more level crossings.
Seems to be the sport of the month.
So Pride was a Pride event.
It was a great event, yeah, it really was. 21st.
It's a wonderful opportunity for people who'd never been to a Pride March to actually get out and see the support available from that part of the community that goes down to Fitzroy Street.
Yeah.
And it was a beautiful day weather-wise, so well organised.
It turned out to be nice. There was a bit of dull cloud there at times. We thought, well, just before we were ready to march, we were down in the middle of the pack, the big black cloud flew over, and I thought, hurry up, move on, I don't want to get wet. But it passed, so we were able to walk in sunshine, which is always lovely.
It's incredible how sometimes political processes do take a long time. And we've got to remember that Don Dunstan, who was the Premier of South Australia for quite a time, whose birthday comes up on the 6th of February,
he died on the 6th of February.
Sorry, he died. I'm getting those wrong.
You can't remember whether you're alive or... Yeah,
I know.
If you keep killing people off before they're born, we're going to have to rewrite history.
Oh, yeah, well, okay. Don Dunstan, Australian politician, died on the 6th of February 1999. And during his period as Premier, he actually tried to introduce, and he did introduce, lots of gay rights and benefits for the state of South Australia. He really advanced the state.
I think they were the first state to decriminalise homosexuality under Don Dunstan. I think they were the very first state. But then South Australia had been the first state for lots of things. Gave the women the vote the first up on. They've done also so many different things over in South Australia.
Like light poles out of railway tracks.
That's right, yep, all those sort of things. But Donnie Dunstan, one of his big claims to fame was that he appeared in Parliament in a pair of pink shorts.
Well, that was part of his flamboyance.
Yes, but he's got...
His flamboyance was accepted.
And his partner...
No. The word G-A-Y hadn't been thrown at him.
No, but his partner, Cheng, has still got those shorts.
Oh!
And he has them there to be sort of framed or something rather than put on a wall. As a memento of... Yeah.
At that time, though, if you think of the Flintstones theme song, the word gay is in there as in happiness.
Yeah.
So gay wasn't a sexual description in the 60s.
We've only been called gay until from around about the 80s, I think, isn't it? Would it be about the 80s when the word gay came into it? I was just always queer.
Yeah.
And I'm still queer. I haven't changed.
But now you're more odd.
Now I'm more odd, yeah. Thank you, Phil.
Queer sort of implies a curiosity. Now we think, oh, we'll just put him in the corner and we'll be okay.
With a pointy hat, he'll be fine.
No, you've been a good boy, Gordon. You've been a very good boy. A very good example, actually. And you marched with Vintage Men.
Yes. I can remember the very first Pride March. I tap danced all the way down the Fitzroy Street, right round to Luna Park. We went in those days. Went right down around Luna Park and we clogged.
I guess the theme wasn't marriage equality on that one, if you're tap dancing.
It hadn't even been mentioned 21 years ago. Nobody mentioned it.
Young Adam Lambert was on TV this morning. He finished touring Australia last night.
Yeah.
And he was expressing his surprise that Australia didn't have equal marriage yet.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
He was actually quite surprised that America had it before us because he thought we were quite progressive.
It's, you see, their laws are changed to their Supreme Court, though, aren't they?
Well, that's where in this case.
That's where they change their laws, where our laws are changed by the Parliament. And so you have to have...
Well, see, the Supreme Court, with equal marriage, it overruled the objections. The law comes from the states.
That's right.
And then, because it's America, it ends up in court.
Yeah.
That's just how they do things. You want a coffee? I'll see you in court. So, yeah, the Supreme Court said, well, this is legal. Go for it.
Go for it, yeah.
I was doing a little bit of surfing last night, and on the site that I was at, up came the message that the federal court in the US had actually announced that there was to be no discrimination in marriage, and that overrode the state laws. But I haven't seen that yet confirmed anywhere.
Now, that's the Supreme Court passed that law, which overrode all state laws.
Yeah.
So that none of the state laws in America against equal marriage no longer exist. They no longer exist because the Supreme Court ruling overrules the whole lot of them.
Right.
But some of the states are rebelling against it because they have very right-wing state governments. Yeah.
Well, back in the 80s in England, they were getting activated, I mean, in the 70s as well, and the Bronski Beat group of singers...
Brothers.
Well, they were gay, and they were singing some of the earliest gay songs of coming out.
That's right.
And the track that we're going to be playing very soon is actually called Hit That Perfect Beat. And it is actually a comment upon the dance scene at the time where people would just go into the zone of safety of being maybe a boys only dance group where you could dance on your own, you could dance with a partner, and
as a young man at that age, though, I interpreted it differently.
Well,
and wondered where the perfect beat was.
Yeah, well, the first one was opened in London on this day.
Stop it.
First men's toilet was opened in London on this day. Not this day. It was opened on tomorrow, the 2nd of February, in London, the first men's toilet. So,
well, let's talk about something more nicer than that, which is the words of the song. Searching for some company, feel the rhythm. Now they want the party pace, dance. Dance, feel the heat, feel that perfect beat, boy. And then I've got that feeling. Come close to me. I want to be that perfect feeling all over me, that beat boy feeling, blah, blah. Boys in the back room, their house destroyed.
Oh, we know some
touch
back rooms.
And kiss a stranger if all else fails.
Been in back
hiding from the danger
Europe.
That's
not,
been...
Not wishing to cut him off.
No, but hiding from the danger that's been sent from hell. So there's a message in there and a story of it's a history of our scene.
And how about a more musical version?
All right, thank
you. I think that'll be lovely.
Bring joy to the world. Listen to us everywhere. Download the Joy smartphone app now at joy.org.au.
You're with Chris, Phil and Gordon. Been there, done that. Joy 94.9. Thanks for being with us. And thank you, Colin, for your SMS.
Yes, he says, guys, you and the BDTD program always start my week with such an uplifting, yay, joy way. Always an interesting mix of subjects. Keep up the great work. And PS, would correct changed great to grey. Surely that can't be appropriate for you gents. Lots of love. Same back to you, Colin. Thank you, Colin.
Yes. Yeah. Predictive text has got a lot to answer for.
Yes.
And that's very dangerous because, you know, you're busily tapping away on your device, if you pardon the expression, and then you hit send and you realise, oh, crikey.
I don't use predictive text.
No, well, that's very wise. But think about all the people that, you know, send texts and also, especially in the current apps, Facebook and Twitter and things like this, where little messages go out and, oh.
Mine will put up a word after you've typed perhaps two or three letters of the word, and if it's the right word, you can tap it and it'll go in.
Yeah,
but it doesn't predict. It's not predictive text. It's just suggestive. Flick it up there.
It's suggestive. I don't like suggestions.
Your little phone giving you all these little suggestions.
Oh God, it's the only place I get suggestive remarks from.
Well, like of course, the guy in the bar.
Yeah,
sat down and heard this little boy saying, "Oh, it's a nice shirt." He looked around, couldn't see anybody, so he kept on drinking. He says, "Oh, that's very nice glasses you're wearing." And the bartender walked past and he said, "Bartender, I'm hearing all these things about, you know, what I'm wearing and how I look." And he said, "Oh, that's the nuts. They're complimentary."
Thank you. Very complimentary. Thank you,
Banana,
Phil.
Yes.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, of course, in the good old days, and that's any time.
Prior to about 1999 or something.
People did it the hard way.
Well, they wrote books.
And, oh.
That was the way people come. And they wrote letters.
Yes.
And they posted letters. And these days you don't have to do it. But there are three people this week who are absolutely great writers who had a lot to do with the English language. Two were American and one was a Brit.
Well, the one who was a Brit was Charles Dickens.
Charles Dickens. It's his birthday on the 7th of February. And he's probably I think I read somewhere where he is the most read and most published author in the English-speaking world, is Charles Dickens. He sold more books than anybody.
Willie Waverdigger might be in there as well. Shakespeare?
No. He hasn't sold as much. His plays are done, but they're not.
They're harder to read.
They're harder to read. Reading a Shakespeare play.
He doesn't speak good English, but.
Yeah.
And well, yet, it was good at the time.
But Shakespeare, well, that's what they tell us. Shakespeare put something like 3,500 words into the English dictionary.
Can you imagine what Shakespeare's phone would be saying?
Oh,
what?
Yeah. What?
What? I don't even know what to substitute for that word.
No.
Yeah, and then, of course, William S. Burroughs. He's got a birthday today. But well, his birthday, he was a gay author who had a long-term relationship with somebody, I can't remember their name, but he was one of the Beat generation who wrote the Beat books, which was part of the 60s
scene.
Yeah, that was William Burroughs.
Now, that was the Beat generation.
That's right.
Why did they use the word Beat there?
I don't know, because we had Bronski Beat just a minute ago.
Yeah, I know. I'm just wondering if there
is
a... In the
60s, they sat around and played bongos.
Is that what it was?
To throw a stereotype at you. Yeah. I would imagine.
And
I was young at the time.
Were you?
Well,
I was in Single Figures.
Oh, good God.
Well, I wasn't quite, but, yeah, it passed me by.
Mm. And then, of course, there's another lady. A woman is having a birthday as well.
Oh, yes.
And she's very well known at the moment because she has a...
She's been writing words, not singing carols or anything.
That's right. No, but carols, the song we're talking about. Yeah.
It's a story.
The author of Fat Carol, the new movie with Cate Blanchett in. Mm-hmm. And we're calling about Patricia Highsmith, of course.
And we mentioned her birth.
She is
day.
It's the 4th of February. Yeah, she's on Thursday. It's her birthday.
Yes.
Yeah. She has since passed on.
That was her. You're getting it wrong now, dear.
No. Day birth. Oh, that's right. Beg your pardon. Yeah, she died on this day. Oh, God. The way you write these things up, Chris, it's very difficult to understand which
way
is what.
No, we celebrated her birthday back on the 19th of January.
That's right. I knew we'd mentioned a list just recently.
In next week's production meeting, we'll have a little talk about how old you are when you're born and how old you are when you die.
Thank you, fabulous Phil.
And one of the numbers is bigger than the other.
Is it?
Every time.
God, oh, well, I better look out for that.
People are so predictable.
Yeah, people. Well, we're very predictable, actually. Coober Pedy is a great opal place, isn't it?
It is in the north of South Australia. It's one of the hottest places, not quite Marble Bar temperatures, but it was so bloody hot and summer was so bloody long,
yeah,
as they would colloquially say, yeah, that they decided that the best thing to do in that neck of the woods was actually dig holes in the ground and create caves underground where they would
live. We mention it because today is the anniversary in 1950 of the opals that were first discovered at Coober Pedy.
1915.
Yeah, a couple of people were looking for gold, and they broke open a rock, and there was this fabulous piece of opal. And they suddenly thought,
opals were known in the rest of the world, but not in Australia up until that date.
Not until very much, but then Coober Pedy is the largest
national stone.
They're my birthstone.
Yeah. Really?
My birthstone is opal. Mm-hmm.
So where are you wearing the opal that you...
I'm not going to show you.
There's about 106 lines I could come up with. I can't find one G-rated.
No.
But I'd have to throw in a Simpsons reference.
Oh, right.
They have a talk show on TV.
Yes.
With this large African-American woman based entirely on Oprah Winfrey.
Oh, right.
Her name is Opal.
Oh, right, of course.
She doesn't have a last name.
No.
So Opal. That's for Nina.
And, of course, the traffic card in transport card in New South Wales is an Opal card.
That's right.
And it costs so much to travel on the train. If you've got to buy Opals to...
Yes.
Yeah, and it's the Opal capital of the world, actually. And they've done a couple of television series about the people living underground. And when you go underground to these homes, they're absolutely magnificent.
Yeah. I was in Malta for my holidays last year. And a lot of caves in Malta were created by early inhabitants. They were used during World War II as bomb shelters, also as cemeteries, as catacombs. And likewise, they made use of the ability to escape the hot temperatures of Malta during summer. Mm-hmm. So we were quite fashionable in that regard.
We've had a couple of messages here. I've got to turn this around now so I can read this. Hello, gentlemen. I'm walking to get some stuff printed and listening to you on the app. I really love your show and the history of things. I'm fascinated. Don't miss a show. Thank you for the amazing show. You guys are terrific. Lots of love and respect from Thomas. Thomas, lots of love and respect back for
you.
That's
going to cost us.
Thank you for listening.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Thomas.
And we've got another one here. In regard to the Bronski Beat, thanks for the track. I had the album on cassette and played it to death. They were a band for all of us, not just gay men. Barb from Triple X. Good on you, Barb.
Thank you, Barb.
Inclusive.
The problem with cassettes was that they started to stretch after a while and the sound went funny.
It went slow. Yeah. Yes. Oh, yes.
It was referred to as wow and flutter.
I never wowed
and
fluttered.
Technical.
Oh, really?
And if you got it on vinyl, if you overplayed it, you end up with nothing.
Nothing, because they scratched
it out.
You
just scratch off all the wiggly bits.
Oh, golly gosh.
Where are we going now?
Well, it's time to have a piece of music, but it's from Dana International.
Oh, she won Eurovision Song Contest back in 2003 or something, wasn't it?
98. Winner of the Eurovision Song Contest for Israel.
Yes.
But came out as a transgender at the age of 13 and underwent sex reassignment surgery in 93.
Yeah, and she's very, very popular in Israel. She's the highest-selling recording artist in Israel, probably a few places around as well, because she's got a great voice.
Might be Israel's Johnny Farnham.
No, I don't think so.
No.
I don't know. Could possibly be. But, but she's a very attractive lady. So let's listen to Dana, shall we?
Yeah, she is right now.
Joy 94.9.
You're with Gordon, Phil and Chris. Been there, done that. Joy 94.9.
And could I tell you we've had another message?
Oh, really, sir?
Good afternoon, gents. I'm really enjoying today's show. And once again, Phil is displaying his lovely sense of humour. And your facts are just interesting to hear. Love to you all from Nina. Kisses and hugs. And same back to you, Nina. Hope you're feeling well.
Yes,
indeed. It's a beautiful day.
beautiful day to feel well.
Yep.
And for a history show, we're really bad with dates.
Yes, I just that's something's happening, isn't it?
Well, okay, let's throw a non-date to you. Matthew Mitchum just recently, very recently, announced that he was going to formally give up the swimming routine.
The diving.
Let's get it correct.
He swims for when he's entered the water, he swims to the edge of that little pool.
Yes.
And diving does have its ups and downs.
And I'm quoting him here. He said he's achieved all his major goals that he wanted, and he feels like diving is something that requires full-time commitment, and my heart, my passion, lies outside the pool. I love media, I love entertaining, and that also requires full-time dedication. I've been kind of half doing both of those for the last year and a bit, and I think it's time to fully commit.
But do you miss the top? I'm free. Oh. I'm a lady of leisure.
I wasn't going to.
No, why not? Why not? He's an out proud man.
He started writing two new cabaret shows and is looking forward to working on this year's Olympic coverage as a commentator. Well, I reckon
he would never be a commentator.
I'd love the chips.
Thank you,
Phil. He'd be a real special tater.
Yes, he's a real special tater.
You just had an opportunity not to say that. But I would imagine...
He's really well balanced. He's got a chip on both shoulders.
Thank you. I reckon it's really hard for any sports person who's achieved the greatest and then is on the decline, or the decline, in fact. And I think it must be hard to keep your pride up unless you've got a second string to your bow.
I would say he could still dive very well, but just that he really wants to go now into the entertainment industry. Yeah. You know, I don't think he's lost the ability to dive. I just think he's lost the push to get to do it. You know what I mean?
Well,
the drive to dive.
Drive to dive, yeah.
Well, that's
a nice one, Phil. Well done.
10 points.
A lot of the job is really on the edge too.
Yeah. Oh. And you fall for it every time.
Well, you don't want to flop.
Now, none of these
were
practiced.
He started, he really made a splash in the business. But that's not good for scoring.
Thank you very much. Someone else in the Olympic swimming pools was Mark Tewkesbury, a Canadian former competition swimmer, born on the 7th of February 1968.
Hmm.
Now, he likewise recognised that his career in the pool was rather limited as well.
He won quite a few medals, actually. He won gold and silver at the Olympics, and he won gold and silver at the Commonwealth Games, because being a Canadian, he ended in the Commonwealth Games. And he was a very, very good backstroke swimmer, you know.
Yeah.
And he apparently was very good but they told him his underwater work wasn't very good. But when he was on top of the pool, because a lot of them swim underwater so far, you know, they go backwards and kick and whatever the way before they come
at
up
the turns,
yeah, before they come up to stroke. But when he was on top of the water, nobody could beat him. But he improved his underwater skills a little bit, and he became a world beater. So you know, he was a fine-looking young man. But I can remember seeing him at the Olympics, but he didn't come out until after he had finished his swimming.
No. But that's the interesting thing
and he lost a lot of sponsorships.
Oh yes, that showed the problem at that time. I mean, it was the 92 Olympics, 88 Seoul, and I think he was even out here in the 87 Brisbane Pan Pacific Games. And of course, being a Commonwealth citizen, he would have been at the 86 Edinburgh and the 90 Auckland Commonwealth Games,
in which he won medals. Of course,
yeah. But he found that he actually had a career in being gay. Who'd imagine that you could actually have that sort of a position?
I can think of some jobs, but I won't get into them.
Yeah. But Tewkesbury also became an Olympic representative for Canada, and he was with the Olympic Games Commission.
Mm.
And he actually left them. He said, they're so corrupt. He said, I could not live with myself if I worked with them, you know. And so he got rid of them. And he came out and told everybody that how corrupt the Olympic movement was, you know. So he got dropped fairly quickly from the Olympic movement.
Yeah. But he actually gave on radio in Canada at the CBC, a special episode about homophobia in sports. And it was part of his coming out process.
Mm.
And as you said, he lost some sponsorship through that. But he, as a motivational speaker, it really crueled the pitch for him for a while until people realised that being gay wasn't a problem, even though he had come out motivationally as, okay, this is the problem that you've got to get over or let other people accept. And
I've always said, Chris, that being gay is not your problem, it's everybody else's.
And that's what he was doing. He was telling them, you know, look, I've survived, I am what I am.
Name for
gay
a good song.
Or not.
That's a good song.
Oh, yes, yes. Hello.
I haven't got that.
Haven't you got that?
Well, I could search, but I'm not going to.
Currently, to this date, he remains a public figure, working as a motivational speaker, television commentator for swimming events, and he's continued his activism.
Now, of course, they were all to do with water.
Yeah.
They're both Matthew Mitchum and Mark Tewksbury were all to do with water.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we had a thing, we weren't getting enough water here in Australia, so they decided to do some cloud seeding.
Oh,
and
yes.
And cloud seeding was a thing that was very fashionable way back, you know.
Please explain to the listener, because they mightn't understand, that little people would go up in little planes and chuck things out.
Yeah, it was back in 1947. There was a bit of a drought on and they didn't have any rain, so they took up an aeroplane and they threw out out of the plane
little flakes of iodine,
flakes of iodine or something like that, and they into a certain sort of cloud. They had to wait for that cloud to be there, and they hoped that would cause rain to form, that the moisture would form around these little pellets of stuff that they were, dust that they were throwing into the cloud, and it would cause it to rain. And it did rain.
Yes. Yeah, so
they did get rain, but then everybody said, oh, well, it might have rained anyhow. You know, who's to prove that you were right, you know. But that was way back in 1947 at Bathurst by the CSIRO. Now, the CSIRO today...
Commonwealth Scientific and Industrial Research Organisation.
That's the one.
Yeah, and that's where the government actually paid scientist-y type people to actually sit there, scratch their heads, work out solutions to various problems that Australia was facing. And this is where, I believe, the black box came out of.
Yeah, well,
and something a little more recent.
Yeah.
Wi-Fi,
yeah. Of course.
We invented Wi-Fi here in Australia.
And we're collecting royalties.
Are we collecting royalties for that?
I haven't seen any.
We're not collecting any royalties for the black box, of course, because the government wouldn't have anything to do with it, so they sold it overseas, so everybody overseas gets it now. And this is what the trouble is with some of these dinosaurs that we have that sit up there in Canberra. They just don't know whether they're onto a good thing or not. But anyhow, but climate change is what they had then, and they say they seeded clouds to get rain. We didn't really need to see clouds on Saturday night here, did we?
Oh, what a dump of rain that was.
We didn't have to do it then.
It was lovely.
Yes, but most of it ran off. It didn't run into any dams or anything, even down in the dam area, because the ground is so dry that they've had very little runoff into the dams.
Wow, it just
soaked it just soaked it all into the ground, yeah.
Were they seedy-looking clouds?
They were very seedy-looking.
Or did they look a little seeded?
They were, I don't think...
Well, it was night time. And it was a beautiful fireworks show, lightning.
I got to see two thunder, lightning bolts, you don't get to see thunder. And the rain went around us.
Okay.
I was wondering whether you've had any rain over your way, because you normally get it. You're in the area that does get rain. Yeah.
Well, that's about the end of the show, because coming up after us is going to be Warren.
Warren's taking you through the afternoon, isn't he?
With a wonderful selection of Melbourne's most uplifting music mix.
Yes. Oh, well, right, not now.
Alliteration. So it's going to be goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me, Gordon.
And from me, Phil.
And thanks very much for your messages. We really appreciate it. And nice to know that you like what we do up every day.
We hope we put a smile on people's faces.
Yes.
And if you learn anything, we're sorry.
We didn't mean to be that erudite.
It was never intended.
And I didn't mean erudite. I said erudite.
Thank you indeed.
How is Harold?
Harold's pretty good.
Yeah. He's pretty stuck up.
Sticks together pretty well.
You're on Joy.
This Joy program has a podcast, and you can subscribe to it at joy.org.au.
And we'd like to say thank you to Julia. She's our podcaster, and she puts it all together and places it on the web page and makes it available for listening later on. You might find other shows are also there, so just go onto our web page, joy.org.au, and even right on the first page, you will see some amazing podcasts. And time now to listen to True Love Survivor from the Freemasons. Wonderful songs here on Joy. Bye now.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.